Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. I am Dabudeen Muhammad, and I will be introducing my guest soon. We want to have a brief discussion of Islam. What is Islam? What Islam wants mainly, or most importantly, for its believers. Islam is simply peace. Peace with self, peace with the world created by God, and peace with the God we call Allah in the religion of Islam, or in the Arabic language. The Quran came to the Prophet Muhammad of Arabia, who was born in the city, the holy sacred city of Mecca, where Muslims make pilgrimage yearly. Muhammad himself belonged to the people we call Arabs. His language was Arabic. And God revealed the Quran, the holy book of the Muslims called Quran by English people, speaking people. God revealed the book Quran to Muhammad in Arabic to an Arabic speaking person. We believe Muhammad was chosen by God because he was in the same condition, human-wise, soul-wise, and human-wise, that God chose for the whole of humanity when he created the first man called Adam. Muhammad was known among his people to be truthful and trustworthy. They gave him two titles. As-Sadiq means the truthful one who does not lie. And Al-Amin means the trustworthy one that you can trust. In my studies, I'm convinced my studies of scripture, Bible that came before Quran, the Old Testament or the Torah to the Jews, and the Gospel or the Injil, as Muslims call the Gospel Injil, the book of the good news brought to the world from God through Christ Jesus, peace be on him. Studying these books have convinced me that peace is what God wants for all of us, Jews, Christians, Muslims. And I'm convinced that these books have one theme in common, and that theme is peace. Getting back to the picture of Islam, or to the description of Islam, Muhammad the Prophet was asked, "What is Islam?" His reply, I give you now in these words, his words. Islam is to believe in God, to witness God, that there is one God, to pray, to give in charity, to fast the month of Ramadan, to fast as Christians and Jews do, Muslims and Muslims, and to make visit to the house. We call it pilgrimage to the sacred house that has nothing in it. Is a house symbolizing the beginning of worship for mankind. It symbolizes the unity of all people in one human family. That belief also is a belief common to the Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Islam, then, in practice, is to witness that there is but one God for all of us, whether it be Muslims or someone, or anybody. One God for the whole creation, for everything that exists. To pray, to give in charity, to fast, and to visit, make pilgrimage to the sacred house built by Abraham and his son, another prophet, Ishmael. In the Bible, Ishmael. In Islam, Ismail. We differ in how we express our faith or our religion. But as far as our beliefs are so much alike that I don't see any reason to say that there are any difference. Muhammad the Prophet also taught us what our beliefs are. He said, we believe in God, we believe in revelation, we believe in his angels. We believe in the revealed books from God. We believe in his prophets and messengers. And by the way, the prophets of Muslims in our holy book are the same prophets you'll find in your Bible if you're Christian, and the same prophets we find in the scripture of the Jews, scriptures of the Jews, except for Muhammad and Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ, you won't find him in the Jews' scripture. For Muhammad, you won't find him identifiable in the Jews' by the Jews in their scripture, and you won't find him identifiable by Christians in their scripture. But for the Muslims, we have reference in our holy book to Muhammad in the Bible, in the Old Testament. God says, Muhammad is one from the illiterates, meaning not able to read. I'm convinced that it didn't mean read as we read, common reading. I'm convinced by my studies that it means he was not able to read scripture. He was not able to interpret scripture because he had no familiarity with scripture before God called him. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, is also said to be one coming to break all the bonds of slavery, not for Arabs only, not for Muslims only, for the whole of humanity. So he's the one mentioned in the scriptures of the people of the book, that means the Bible, as one coming to break all the bonds of slavery and to take the heavy yoke off the backs of the people that weighed them down. We believe this description says that Muhammad is a liberator. And from the studies of Muhammad in Quran and in the history of Islam, we learn that Muhammad liberated the people who were in bondage to sin, in bondage to ignorance, in bondage to slave masters, other persons. He liberated them with education, the new education that God revealed to him, that brought about a great world of learning, studies by common people, education for everybody, females and males, rich and poor, a period of time where there was such respect for knowledge, common sense, common decency, and higher education, that immediately sprung up universities all over the Middle East and sparked what we call the Renaissance for the West. This is all history. I hope you have a better picture of Islam now if you were missing that picture. And we thank you for giving us your attention for this part of Deputy Dean Muhammad and Guest. And I would like to now introduce to you the guest on W.D. Muhammadan Guest. Waleed Shamsuddin is a young man who worked for his father, a businessman, very successful businessman, Lawrence Shamsuddin, who has several, well, I should say many, fish restaurants, fast food restaurants in Atlanta and in the Atlanta area. He has been trained. He went to school for business education, and he had been trained well in business by his father. And we have considered him for president of a division of CPC, which is a collective purchasing company and a distributorship, a mother distributorship, with about 33 children, young and promising distributorships that also buy, purchase, and produce products, manufacture, and process food products, and also purchase clothing, and manufacture clothing, which is starting now in Senegal, in a factory that we have established in Senegal. He has been given this big responsibility because of what we know about him. He is an exceptional young businessman. Waleed Shamsuddin, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Imam. It's indeed a pleasure and a privilege to be here as a guest on your show today, and I would also like to extend greetings from the Atlanta community.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is your time on this show.
Yes, sir.
And we would
like you to try
to inform us, let us know, both Muslim and the general public too, let us know what we should be concerned about.
Yes, sir. Well, coming from a business background, I've been blessed to attend Florida A&M University. And with working in a family business, I developed a unique approach to understanding business concepts. My studies have led me to believe that throughout our culture and community, traditionally, the dollar does not circulate. And for some reason, we lack the business skills necessary to be successful. I have, through my work and my studies and in business, began to work with young people and teach them business skills such as communication, dressing for success, understanding what it takes to be successful, clearly defining money, and giving them an example of how that's done, taking them out in the business community, visiting the restaurants, visiting successful entrepreneurs, as well as the corporate industry, so that they can see business on a first-hand basis. Understanding what money is and how it circulates through the community and the importance of supporting businesses that support the community is the beginning. That educational component is the beginning to becoming a viable, sustainable community as an individual and as a community.
May I ask you, I think I have an idea, but when my son, he's only 11,
yes, sir,
when he wants some money, he asked me, said, "Daddy, give me a couple of dollars. I want to get some quarters and play the game. I'll play the game in the game room."
Yes, sir.
I have a lot of people coming to me, because they think I got money.
Right.
From my family.
Right.
And they asked me for money. So I thought they knew what money was. What's the problem here with our perception of money, our understanding, our definition of money?
Well, when asked in a classroom environment, who can define money? What's the textbook approach? Most of them say cash, mm-hmm, or the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. And I get into money really operates strictly off of faith. In the back of the dollar, it says, "In God we trust." Mm-hmm. Since 70-71 is no longer backed by silver and gold. See, at one time, you could take the dollar and exchange it for its value in silver and gold, but right now, it just operates off
I'm
of faith.
I'm old enough to remember that. Yeah.
So if the dollar circulates more than once or twice or three times in the community, it begins to gain value for that community. And if we spend our dollar outside of the community, then we cannot see the value that it has.
I remember President Reagan, he was being criticized by the Democrats and particularly by African-American leaders for this trickle-down economics.
Right.
And he explained what he thought was the problem. He says you have to have your dollar, talking to black people,
right,
you have to have your dollar circulate more than one time.
That's right. We are usually considered consumers.
Yeah.
We'll spend all our money, then ask our parents for money.
Yeah.
If we have a house, take out a second mortgage and charge
up
all the credit cards.
Yeah, that's right.
And the industry and the community, the global community, studies us and markets their products to us knowing that if we buy the product, we're going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And changing that mindset, we have to move from consumer one or two steps up into the retail business or the distribution business or the wholesale business,
yes,
and begin to accumulate more wealth, therefore being respected a little more in the global environment, the global,
yes,
community.
So when we spend as consumers, the dollar just goes one time.
Right. But if we spend with a business, mm-hmm, that in turn supports our businesses,
right,
our banks, our,
yeah,
nonprofits, our religious community, the dollar begins to circulate more within that community, creating jobs,
yes,
creating new businesses, and creating more opportunity for the community of which it serves.
I thank you for the way you put that. You didn't say if we spend it with blacks. You say if we spend it with those who support our community.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's important.
Because
a lot of times if you go into a business within your community, you can look on the wall. What chamber are they a member of? What soccer team is on the wall? Mm-hmm. What nonprofit do they support based on the accolades that are shown in that business? And if you don't see your local religious institution or your local school or your local nonprofit, then you know the money that they make is going back to their community and not being supportive of the community in which it's serving.
We have some leaders in our community that have brought our community a long ways, I think, in the road of progress. Like Imam Freeman that you have here in Atlanta,
yes, sir,
in the city of Atlanta, who has led the schools from preschool to high school through the 12th grade, and the mosque, the religious house of worship, the congregation, to really be admired by all of us in the Muslim community, by all of our leaders and our people. And we know that he is, as I am, very much wanting to see that when we pass from this world, he has more time than I have, that we will pass and be at peace with ourselves, and we will be smiling in the casket, knowing that we have young men like you and young women in the leadership, protecting the future for a generation to come.
Thank you.
Can you tell me something from your own concerns that will help us understand what we need to do more of in order to attract more young people with bright minds from the college campuses and universities to join us and help us be responsible for our future?
Yes, sir. Well, I think first the invitation. A lot of the youth and young adults fear that they will not be accepted by the older adults, and the older fear that the youth are not ready to come out and do this work. If they extend,
that's not a Freeman.
Right.
That's certainly not David Dean Muhammad.
That's right. But that invitation starts the process. Invite the youth and young adults to come out and get involved and use their energy, use their technical intellect that they've learned from schools to assist us in progressing. And I define progress as first education,
yes,
then implementation,
yes,
and then evaluation.
Yes.
Without that evaluation component, you cannot determine whether or not progress has taken place.
Yes.
So by first inviting them to come on board, and then second, identifying something for them to work on, put them to work.
So something for them to work on.
Yes.
Now, I understand in Atlanta community, Muslim community, MAS, Muslim American Society, that we do have an appreciable number of youngsters, young people, youth, involved in contributing to the growth of the Atlanta Muslim community.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's true.
So we want to see that happen in more areas. And I would ask you to help us reach more youngsters and invite them so they will know that they are welcomed by the leadership.
Yes, sir.
Even though there are some old soldiers that maybe fear the challenge of the young coming in.
Right. I see the seniors providing that wisdom and working with the young adults, and the young adults providing that energy. We have a youth association called NGIA,
yes,
Next Generation Islamic Alliance here in Atlanta, where the young people work with the seniors and work with the youth as mentors and whatnot, and assisting them and together making progress throughout the community. So I think that's important.
That is very important. I would like to take, we're running out of time almost here, I would like to take a minute or so and point to something that I think will help us in this particular time we're in. the Nation of Islam, I was born in 33. I was old enough in 40, 41 to know what was going on. In 41, most of our men went to jail for refusing to accept the draft card. Many of them were too old to go to the Army. If they had just accepted the draft card, they would have been spared jail. But they didn't. That was their conviction. Mm-hmm. And at the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did his 5 years in jail. He returned and he said, we have to do something so people can see what we all about. Mm-hmm. He said, we have to make a material showing for ourselves. And he opened up the first restaurant, he opened up the first grocery store, he himself opened up the first bakery in Chicago. And his new emphasis in religion for the Nation of Islam attracted Malcolm to join, Malcolm X to join the Nation of Islam. And Malcolm X was a young man with a new mind, a fresh mind, mm-hmm. very much like you when we think of the old fellas and the new fellas. He was very much like you. And Malcolm was able to reach the youngsters. And I think with you and with Imam Pleeman and others who are thinking youth and not retiring,
right.
we are going to do exactly for this time what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X did for that time.
Wow.
And I would like to conclude here and thank our guests for watching, and we hope to see you very soon on W. Dean Muhammadan Guest. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.